Good Tuesday. This is Ozarks at Large. In 1969, the University of Arkansas had about 9,000 students enrolled in classes. About 150 of those students were black. Students of color had little representation in university activities and little input toward student policy. But there were students who worked for change in the 1960s and 70s, and an honors class taking place this semester at the U of A will introduce students of 2020 to some of those students from decades past. The class is led by Charles Robinson, interim provost at the university and a professor of history at the University of Arkansas. He's also the author of the book, Remembrances in Black, Personal Perspectives of the African-American Experience at the University of Arkansas. He says this class developed in part through conversations with Dr. Lonnie Williams, a graduate of the U of A and one-time director of the school's Multicultural Center. And Robinson says during his research, he discovered a newspaper once published at the university called Bad Times. It was an offshoot of the student group Black Americans for Democracy, or BAD.
And I discovered this newspaper that a student group of African Americans had put together called Bad Times. And it was in our university archive, and learned more about that student organization and how it formed. It formed as a resistance to what it saw as the failure of the traveler to deliver fair news about the MLK assassination. They failed to publish an article written by an African American student, and so that launched a desire to protest the traveler, but then also establish this medium then whereby they could get their voices out. And it became a really important tool for the entire campus, but particularly for African American students, to push the issues that they thought were important, and to try to really diversify the campus in some meaningful ways.
In the late 60s, what was representation for African Americans like in university organizations, be it the Traveler or student government? It wasn't much, was it?
No, I think Gerald Jordan actually worked for the Traveler.
That's true.
In the late 60s, but he's the only one that I'm aware of as African-American student. But you just didn't have nearly the type of infrastructure for African-American students, for inclusion that what I feel that we have today. And there were only African Americans at that time. There were only about 150 African Americans out of a population of students over 9,000. So 1.7% of the population. Faculty numbers were really, really small as well. I think there were two African American faculty members by 69. So it was just not nearly a place that embraced or welcomed these students in a way that made them feel like they really had a foundation here and a place for them here. And there were so many programs that we have today that simply did not exist, that featured and focused on African-American culture in some way, shape, or form.
Can you tell through historical research if there was any desire, be it Board of Trustees or university administration in the 1960s, to increase representation or African American population among faculty or students?
Well, you know, desire is, there's a rhetoric of desire, and then there's a reality that's usually accompanied with resources of some sort. And there were some federal investigations of U of A campus reality that really encouraged us, forced our hands as a campus. Now, I'm sure those studies were part of the reasons why we moved, but the students themselves and their willingness to take on the administration, to go into President Mullen's office and drop off a list of demands, you know, to protest. I mean, that was very, very important to this whole process of change on the campus. The students themselves created organizations that they that would become, you know, institutional organizations over time, but the students started those organizations. Like the first African American choir, it wasn't called Inspire, but it was a choir that the students who were part of BAD started. I mean, of course, it led to Inspire, and that's what I mean by the students themselves push the university towards becoming more of a desegregated campus. They didn't simply allow administrators to move at their own pace.
You mentioned already Gerald Jordan and a couple of other students that were there then who will be leading some of the forums for the students this time, right?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm most excited about, is that these real life historical figures, people who were actors in this time, will get a chance to talk about their experiences, what it was like to live through this time, and you know, to provide some context to the students about their experiences and looking back on that and what it means. And we bring the class all the way up to the current time, and the kneeling Razorbacks, for example, with the Lady Razorback. We have a representative from that team who's going to come in. I remember her, she was a freshman at the time, and she will talk about what that experience was like. And then in this most recent iteration of kind of African-American student protest, the hashtag Black at UARC, we have a person who has been involved in that. So what I'm hoping the students to see is the continuity of protest, but also how change has also affected the campus and also the methods of protest for the students of color here at the University of Arkansas.
When you look at the students then who will be speaking to students now, it's not surprising that they have turned into leaders throughout their adult life, be it at the Philadelphia Inquirer and later a journalism sure. professor like Gerald Jordan, legislature, mayors, leading attorneys, sure. cutting their professional leadership teeth while at the U of A.
Right. The book Lonnie Williams and I did in the interviews, people often talked about how difficult a time they had here at the University of Arkansas, socially, you know, emotionally. But generally speaking, they valued their time here because it helped to shape them for the careers that they would go on to have. And they really talked about building the foundation of their kind of education, the educational foundation. They praised the opportunity and the faculty in terms of how they were very serious professionals and helped them to learn in a way that served as a foundational tool for their future success.
You mentioned Lonnie Williams, who mentioned some of the emotional and you know, prejudice that he felt here and lack of inclusion. Then he becomes a mentor and a guide to students throughout several generations at the University of Arkansas. I'm wondering if you ever had the conversation with him. Why come to the institution that at times could be so difficult to be a member of as a student?
And we've talked, Lonnie was here when I came as an assistant professor back in 99, and he was very helpful to me just to get grounded and started here, you know, introducing me to different people. I think he felt that here at the university, despite its challenges, it was a place where there was real opportunity for people of color to come and develop, and students to come and learn and develop. So it's back to what we just referenced. The school had challenges relative to inclusion, but there were some foundational aspects of this institution that he found rewarding, meaningful, purposeful. And the hope was that we could change what needed to be changed and maintain, you know, the positive aspects of those things that helped shape people and made them the professionals that they would go on to become.
What's it like for a historian to cover a subject that for some of us seems like more or less recent or recent-ish history, but to the students, I'm guessing is going to sound more like antiquity or ancient history. This was happening several, you know, years before they were even born.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, I tell my students when I teach them that my courses are rated R. And what that means is that I keep them real. In other words, we deal with the facts. I mean, I don't make up facts. Facts are what they are. And some of these facts you will embrace gleefully. Others you will question and challenge. But they are, you know, facts of record. And then I try to, the second R is to make history relevant. I mean, and so to work on history that's this relevant to students is powerful to me. It's a great learning opportunity. And it's also opportunity for me to continue to learn, because the question of continuity versus change, you know, with the recent murder of George Floyd, American society is looking at its kind of civil rights history and asking, have we really changed all that much? Or are we, you know, more of the society that we thought that we had moved away from? And I think, you know, in many ways, University of Arkansas and this whole issue of bad and student protests is a microcosm of that larger conversation. And the students who have expressed over the summer some of their concerns talked about some similar themes that you found from students of color back in the 60s. And the question for, I think, for this course is, what truly is similar and what's different? And how do we make all this make sense and give us some better sense of where we are as a campus and also as a nation on this, you know, civil rights pendulum?
Charles Robinson is interim provost at the University of Arkansas and a professor of history. He's leading a class this fall about the work of Black students, faculty, and administrators who work to create more inclusion at the University of Arkansas over the past several decades. He's also the author of the book, Remembrances in Black, Personal Perspectives of the African American Experience at the University of Arkansas. He spoke with us via Zoom.